But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 20. Have you ever noticed that unhealthy foods often smell so good and taste so nice, even though they're not good for you? And yet it's really easy to disdain or dislike things that are good for you. I sometimes think that the devil's got a hand in all of that. I don't know how it all works, but the things that are not good for you smell and taste good. The things that are good for you sometimes are just kind of average. They don't taste all that great. And you know, sometimes the same truth is true when it comes to preaching. And if we're not careful, sometimes that we can just get this feeling like, preaching again. You know, I don't really want to listen to that, but you know, I suppose I better because it's good for me. And we have somewhat of a dull attitude toward preaching, or we feel like, you know, that if we could think of something better to do, we'd do it. And we need to be real careful about that, because God wants us to enjoy that, because the preaching of the Word of God is something that will help us and strengthen us and build us up. The verse we're going to be looking at this morning deals with that. And in verse number 20, it says, despise not prophesying. Despise not prophesying. We're going to look at that word prophesying, and we're going to find out that prophesying has to do with preaching. Okay? So God's saying not to despise the preaching of His Word. And the word despise there, as we'll be seeing in a moment, has to do with just not liking it or thinking it's not that important, or it's just, take it or leave it type of thing. And so we need to be real careful about that. As we look at this verse this morning, I want to point out three things that we need to examine in order to understand what God's trying to tell us. And the first thing we need to examine is the definitions. And we've been going through this a lot. I've been teaching you about examining the definitions, but it really is true. It's very important that we need to know what it's talking about. So the first thing is the word despise. The word despise means to consider as nothing, to belittle, to scorn, to treat with contempt. It's something like, I don't want that anymore. Yeah, that's not important. You know, don't bother me with that. I got better things to do. All right, that's the attitude of scorn or contempt or feeling like something is not important. It's to despise. Now, throughout the New Testament, we find several examples of this word being used, but being translated in very much different ways, some of them. And, for example, in Luke chapter 18, verse number 9, Jesus told of a self-righteous person that despised others. He said, the self-righteous people, they think, I'm all right, I'm good. Those other guys, they're disgusting. They're a waste of time. And so they despised others, thinking themselves good, they despised others. So that's one way the word was used. In Luke chapter 23, in verse number 11, Jesus tells us that during his trial, that Herod and his men set Jesus at naught. Right? That word set at naught was the same word translated here. It means they treated Jesus like he was a nothing, like he was nobody, like he's just a scum. Like he's just not important. They didn't treat him like the king of the Jews. They didn't treat him like the king of the world. They didn't treat him like God. They treated him as if he was just worthless scrap of nothing. All right? And so they set him at naught and mocked him. Then Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 4 that the Corinthian church was to choose those among them that were least esteemed to be their judges. He said, if you have church problems, don't go off to the civil court to take care of that. You need to deal with it in your own congregation. And he said, choose those among you who are least esteemed. That word least esteemed is the same thing. People that they say, oh, there's a nobody. You know, they don't know much. They're just kind of an average Joe. They don't have much of an education. They're kind of backwards. He said, choose those kind of people, because many times they will be more honest, more upright, more able to make good judgments in the congregation. So he says, choose those that are least esteemed among you. So it's that same word, despised or least esteemed. One other example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 10, Paul mentioned that some said of him that his body was weak and his speech was contemptible. The word contemptible is that word despised. He said, they looked at Paul and said that as they looked at him, they said his body was weak. We don't know anything like what Paul looked at, but this kind of gives us a hint. Maybe he was kind of a skinny, scrawny guy, and his body was weak, and his speech was contemptible. In other words, he wasn't an orator. He wasn't somebody that really grabbed your attention when he preached, and you'd have all listeners. And some people just have a talent with that. I believe me, I don't. I know that. I'm not an orator. Some people can just stand up and talk about anything, and everybody just sits there spellbound to hear every word they said because they just know how to say it. Paul said, you know, they say that my speech is contemptible. I'm just an average Joe. It's nothing important. It's not that big a deal. You know, that's Paul talking again. That's all. Don't worry about him. It was just Paul. You know, and they treated him like that. And so it's that word despise. And I shared these examples with you to help you to see what it talks about when we're talking about to despise. To say it's not important. It's not that any big deal. And so that gives us an idea of what it's talking about. So the overall meaning then is that it is something of little value, not important. Something of little value and not important. You know, we've all got things in our life that we despise. It doesn't necessarily mean that you just can't stand it. It just means you just kind of push it aside. It's not important. Toss it over here. Not important to me. You know, we don't care for it all that much. You know, if you had something that, you know, maybe you ladies have a nice vase or something that you inherited from great-grandma. You know, you take care of that thing. You esteem it. You put it up on the shelf and kids don't touch it. And you use it only for special things. You esteem that. But you have something else that, you know, you found alongside of the road and it was just an old cup type of a thing. The kids were putting, you know, weeds in it and calling them flowers. And you look at that and think, just an old piece of junk, you know, and you despise that and think, oh, don't bring that dirty thing in the house, you know, put it outside. But we despise the one, but we esteem the other. So that gives us an idea of what he's talking about here when he says despise. Now, the word prophesying is a little more difficult to explain because it's really got two types of meanings to it. It can mean it can mean foretelling. Foretelling, F-O-R-E, telling, that means to tell something that hasn't been said before. Foretelling is when God would give them a new divine revelation. You know, there are times when Paul, as a prophet, was just maybe sitting quietly, meditating on things, and God spoke to his heart, gave him some new information that had never been said before in the Bible, and Paul wrote it down as scripture. It was inspired of God. That was forth-telling. Then he would preach it to people. He would tell people what God just told him. He said, this is what God just shared with me. And that was forth-telling, something brand new that came from God, divinely from him, to explain something God wanted us to know. So that's one of the ways that is referred to as forth-telling, new information. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So they were moved by the Spirit of God, and they spoke because of that. All right, so this is one of the ways that the word is used. Now, we see also that this foretelling of prophecies during the first century would cease. God told us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. He says there, charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. He said it's going to fail. The word fail there means to come to a stop. It's going to screech to a halt. It's not going to continue on. So God predicted that would happen, that the prophecies would fail. And Paul also refers to those prophecies, and we mentioned this last week, as parts. They were getting a part here and a part there. Paul would get a part from God. Apollos would get a part from God. Peter would get a little part from God. And people were sharing their parts, but they didn't have it in a whole yet. And he said that it would cease when the whole was come. And in 1 Corinthians 13:10, it says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. So when the Bible was completed, when they had all that God was going to reveal to them, and it was completed, they didn't need the little parts anymore. All right? So the parts that they were getting little by little of this foreknowledge were no longer needed once the Bible was completed. And so we have all that God wants us to know right here in this book. We don't need to get information from God. You don't need to see a vision from God in order to know what God wants you to do. We just need to study the Bible. Okay? The Bible's got the information that we need. Now, the other way the word is used, prophesying, is forth-telling. All right? There's foretelling, that means beforehand. Forth-telling means to speak it out. All right? So it's also used as forth-telling or preaching. Sometimes we would say it's explaining the Bible or teaching the Bible. You know, there's a lot of different things that we can do when it comes to getting out the Word of God. It's teaching it, speaking it, preaching it, explaining it, getting it out so people can hear it. Now, that was referred to as forth-telling because it's going forth, going forward. And I believe that Romans chapter 12 and verse number 6 probably refers to this type of prophesying when he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace which is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. He said that preachers were to prophesy or preach according to the faith that God has given them to do that. The information God gave them. He was to forth-tell it, let it flow from them. Conservative Bible teachers generally agree that forth-telling is the main use of the word, especially today. For example, A.T. Robinson states, words meaning forth-telling rather than foretelling and is the chief of the spiritual gifts and evidently depicted in the Thessalonica as in the Corinthian letter. All right, Harry Ironside, another commentator, said a person who prophesies is not necessarily a foreteller. He may be a forth-teller, one who tells forth the mind of God, and, of course, his message will always be based on the Word of God. So, there's the two ways of prophesying can be interpreted. One is foretelling, something brand new that comes from God that had never been said before, that they were foretelling. Fore means before, so they're getting new information from God. The other is a forth-telling. So we're pushing it forth, or spreading it out through preaching. So those are the two ways. Good for us to understand that in order to understand the verse. Now, so we've looked, first of all, we've examined the definitions. Second, we need to examine the interpretations. As we examine the interpretation, the first century interpretation would be different than that of ours today. Here's the reason why. Because the Bible had not yet been completed when Paul was writing to the Thessalonians. It wasn't done yet. It wasn't completed yet. And so, that means that they were still getting parts here and there. Right? The parts weren't all done. They were getting parts here and there. Now, while during this time, when they were getting these parts of Scripture from God, they were getting this foretelling of the Word of God. And there were probably a temptation. You know, you stop and think about it. If it was in our congregation here, and one person gets a message from God and says, oh, God just spoke to my heart, and this is what He said. And somebody else says, oh yeah, I think this, you know, God's given me this information. And there'd be a temptation to think, who's he? I'm not so sure his was right. I don't know about that. I don't know whether he really heard from God. So there'd be a temptation to despise some of the foretelling of the Word of God. They may say, well, you know, I believe what Paul said because Paul's kind of the apostle. But these other guys, I don't know about them. You know, I'll believe Paul's stuff, but I don't know about this guy. And there'd be a temptation to be like that as well. Or they might say, well, I believe what Jesus said, but, you know, these other guys, who are they? So there was that temptation to despise it, to think that it wasn't important, and that some might be more superior to others than the others. Anybody cold? You all right? Okay. Just don't want you to get cold. Now, the present interpretation then would be, now that the Bible is completed, it's no longer foretelling, but it's the forth-telling of the Word of God. And so it's the preaching of the Word of God. It's letting the Word of God come out that we might hear it. Now, I believe that this is how it applies to us today, as the forth-telling. And God acknowledges that preaching is often considered foolish. You know, the world around us looks at the preaching and says, preaching? That's dumb. You know, why would you go listen to some guy stand up there and talk about a book that's 2,000 years old? That's the dumb thing to do. You got better things to do on Sunday than that, don't you? All right? Now, there's a lot of people that have that kind of a view. They just think that the Bible, reading the Bible, preaching the Bible, that's dumb. That's a waste of time. And I've had people even tell me that and talk like that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Lord tells us this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." He said, to those who don't know the Lord, it's foolish to do that. It's crazy. Why would you listen to this talk? You know, that's boring. Don't do that. That's silly. And so they look at it from that perspective. But a person that knows the Lord looks at it and says, listen, I want to hear what God said. I want to know what the Bible says. I want to know from what the Scriptures say. And that's why in our church we focus on the preaching of the Word of God, to explain what God said. You know, a lot of churches, they'll tell stories and they entertain. They do things to, you know, make you feel good and say things that just, you know, so you go home feeling like, oh, that was nice. I felt really good about that. But they don't want to present what God said because, oh, sometimes what God said is kind of harsh. And they don't want to talk about that because that makes people feel uncomfortable and they might not come back. But you know, our job in following the Bible and being biblical is to tell you what God said. Sometimes God tells us things that are really an encouragement. And we say, oh, that was a blessing. Other times He tells us stuff that kind of hits us right between the eyes and says, oh man, I got work to do. All right? And so there's both sides to it, but we need to know what God said. It doesn't matter what I say, it matters what God says. And so we need to dig into the Scriptures and find out what the Lord said that we might be able to understand it. Now, thirdly, we must examine the applications. The applications. And we must be sure that we do not despise Bible preaching. God doesn't want us to despise His Word. That's not going to help us. Now, some of the ways we might be able to do this. Let me give you some suggestions. One is to make it a priority to attend Bible preaching services. Make it a priority in your life. Not just an option. And I'm glad that all of you are here. So, I mean, you can say, well, yeah, I'm here. So that's good. So he's not preaching to me. That's good. But we need to make it a priority. A lot of people just, you know, church is like one of those things where you flip a coin. You know, do I go to church today? I don't know. Is it heads or tails? You know, tails will stay home. All right, yeah, I guess we're going to stay home today. Yeah, it's like they don't really, it's not a priority to them. It doesn't mean anything really serious to them. It's not that important. And so we need to be very careful. Some people only attend church when it's convenient. You know, got anything else going today? Can't you think of anything? You don't need to, okay, well, I guess we'll go to church then. Nothing else we can do. And so if it's only when it's convenient to go. Some people have jobs, and I understand some jobs require that we work on Sunday. But you know, there's some people that choose to work on Sunday. I personally believe that's wrong. All right? If you have to and you can't get around it, I mean, somebody's got to do some of these jobs. And I'm not saying it's sinful to do that, but we need to think about this. What does God want? What does God want from us? God wants us to make this a priority in our lives. And so if at all possible, we should make church a priority and not miss the services. But, you know, if you have to miss the services, one of the good things about this age of technology that we live in, you know, I was thinking about that even on our way to church this morning. We were talking about some of the technology and things. When I was a kid, it would have been almost impossible to listen to the preacher's sermon at home. Almost impossible. I mean, back in those days, and many of you don't even know that these things existed, but they had reel-to-reel recorders. You know, the great big... It wasn't a cassette player. They hadn't developed those yet. They're the bigger ones that you'd have to put in this big machine, and it would go around real slow, and it records. I mean, nobody but the rich people had those kind of things, and they didn't use them for just playing. And then later, in my teenage years, they had the cassette discs, and they came out with those 8-tracks. And you remember those 8-tracks? Those great big things. Kind of useless, but they would record things and you could play. But you know, that now we're able to just upload them on the web. This evening when I come home from church, I'll get on my computer and I'll convert the sermons from today and upload them on the web, and they'll be on the web tonight about 9:30, 10 o'clock. They'll be on there ready for you to listen to. And any of you that have an internet connection can listen to the sermons. So if you have to miss church, there's no excuse for not listening to it, at least. So that's the least we can do, is to make it a priority to say, I want to hear the Word of God. I'm going to listen to it. So I'm going to I'm going to do that. Another thing that we can do to make church more of a, or the preaching more of a priority in our life and show esteem instead of despising it is to pray for the preaching services before it begins. You know, every one of us could do that. On your way to church or even in the morning when you get up, begin praying for the services and just pray, Lord, you know, bless the services today. Bring people out to the services. Cause them to come. Maybe bring visitors in, Lord, and speak to our hearts through the scriptures. Guide the pastor as he prepares. Help him to be well. Help him to be thinking clearly. And maybe may the word be a help to me today. May it strengthen me. May it build me up. And Lord, if there's something that I need to change, convict me about that. Help me to be willing to just do what you want me to do. Just pray for the service. Pray for the word. Pray for others that will be there. You know, as you pray for yourself, I think we should pray for ourselves first, but we should pray for others. Lord, you know, there's other people that are going to be there this morning or evening that need you to work in their heart. They've got some problems. They've got some issues. They've got some troubles. They've got some burdens. Lord, they're going to need your help. Would you please speak to their hearts as well as my heart? And as we make it a priority to pray for the service and pray for the preaching, it will help us. And it'll be a blessing. So that is one of the ways that we can make the preaching emphasized instead of, it's not a big deal. Many times, and listen, I'm not picking on you. I'm as guilty as any. I've done this as well. Many times you come into church, you plop down, don't think anything about it, and you've not prayed about it. You've not cleansed your heart about it. You've not prepared your heart. You just sit there, and then you wonder why I didn't get anything out of it. That was kind of boring today. Pastor kind of blew it. Well, sometimes it's our own fault because we haven't prepared our heart. We haven't asked God to speak to our heart. We haven't really listened with an eager heart. And we go home, we've learned nothing, and say, oh, that was kind of a waste of an hour. I should have stayed home. All right? And there's a temptation to feel that way. But a lot of times it's because we haven't put our heart into it. We've been despising the preaching by doing that. So let's get involved in praying. Another thing you can do, very important, is to bring a Bible along with you. Bring your Bible with you to church and follow along. When I'm preaching, and I know that some preachers are better at this than I am, and I confess this isn't good, but I move along quickly, and I don't really give you time to look up the verses unless you're quick at it. But, you know, if you memorize the books of the Bible, that's not that hard. There's 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, 66 altogether. Memorize the books of the Bible so that when I say it's in Romans, you don't start at the beginning and start thumbing through and say, where in the world is Romans? No, you know right where it's at because you've got them memorized. Right? It's not that hard, folks, but we need to put our heart into it. See, the reason we don't take the time to even do the basics of memorizing the books of the Bible is because it doesn't really matter to us. We're despising it. We're saying it's not that important. Don't really matter. I don't care whether I know where the books of the Bible are or not. But it does matter. It shows that if we don't take the time to even do the basics like that, we're just saying, God, I don't really care. It doesn't really matter to me. And we're just despising it. And that's exactly what we're talking about this morning. So memorize the books of the Bible. Bring your Bible with you. Follow along whenever you're able. And I give you time. Look up a verse. Check it out. There's more than one reason for doing that. But we need to check it out, follow along, and make sure that what I'm saying is true. Because sometimes, you know, I'm a human. Sometimes I'll open my mouth and quote the wrong verse, or I'll say something that was maybe out of line. And if I do, come and talk to me afterwards and say, Pastor, did you know you said this? Is that what you really meant? Did I hear you wrong? And let's talk about it. Hey, sometimes I make mistakes. And if I've made a mistake, and there's been times that I have, that I've had to come and then next week in the pulpit, I'll say, folks, last week I said this and this, and I'm sorry, that wasn't right. I should have said it like this. You know, I'll admit it if I've done wrong, because I am human. I do make mistakes. But that's one of the reasons why you need to have your Bible so you can follow along and make sure. Here's another thing you can do that'll help you not to despise the Word of God. You can take some notes. Now, I'm not suggesting you write down everything I say. I'm not saying you have to do that. If you want all that I say, you can go on the internet, and these notes that I have right in my hand here that I'm preaching from are on the internet even right now. You can download them. If you wanted to, you could download my notes before you come to church. They're usually on the web on Friday at the latest. You can download my notes and follow along as I'm preaching, if you wanted to do that. So they're all there available for anybody that wants them. Now, but by taking notes, just writing down a few things here and there, something that speaks to your heart, write it down. A scripture reference and say, hey, that's what I need to remember. Write it down. It'll help you. It'll strengthen you. It'll build you. It'll encourage you. It'll help you to stay focused. Because what happens is all of us have a tendency to our mind gets, especially if the message is a little bit not the most exciting, our mind starts drifting off to, you know, tomorrow I'm going to go do this and I'm going to work at that and, oh, I got this project to build and you know, oh, he's preaching still, yeah. What did he say? I don't know what he said. Yeah, because we're daydreaming. We get wandering off. Hey, I've done that, and it's a temptation. We need to be careful. So, especially if you didn't get to bed on time the night before, all right? Saturday night ought to be an early to bed time, so you're refreshed in the morning, so you can come to church with a clear mind, ready to listen. But take some notes. It'll help you. And you can write down things. I've got, in my Bible that I had when I was in Bible college, I've got pages and pages and pages in the back of my Bible full of notes that I took. Not the full outlines. The preacher might say, today we're going to give you five reasons why we need to do this. I said, good, quick, five reasons. All right, I'd write them down. He'd say, first one, yep, write it down there. And I had them there. Then I could go back over and look at them again. I remember one that really sticks out in my mind. I've used it many times. When he said, there's going to give us 13 hindrances to prayer. And I wrote those all in my Bible. With a little reference behind him. I have used that over and over and over and over again. And so there's things like that that you can do that will be a help to you if you'll use your Bible like it. You can also write something in the margin of your Bible. You know, maybe just a word. When I define some of these words, maybe you say, well, I didn't know it meant that. If you write carefully and small and clearly, write it in the margin of your Bible. And then the next time you read that verse, you'll remember what it was. It'll be a help to you. So there's lots of things you can do to help you the preaching come alive to you instead of being ho-hum and boring. All right? So that'll help you if you'll take some notes. Another thing, this is a big one, especially for the younger ones, but some of us are young at heart and we need it too, is we need to focus our attention on the preaching. Focus our attention. You know, never pass notes to those that are near you. You know, sometimes you don't know what the preacher sees. Sometimes I see stuff, I think, oh, I can't believe this. You know, I mean, people writing notes, passing it down the line, passing by. I'm saying, come on, give me a break. All right? But that's not helping you learn. It's not helping you listen, and it's distracting somebody else. Another thing, never draw pictures or do unrelated things that are going to distract you and keep you from listening wholeheartedly. You know, some of you might say, well, I can listen really good and do, you know, well, some of you are capable of doing more than one thing at a time, but it still distracts your attention. Focus. Stay focused. It'll be helped to you. Pay attention. Don't daydream. Mentioned the daydreaming a moment ago. And, you know, I've been there. I've done that. I mean, when we were in Bible college, we had chapel every single day for an hour. We'd listen to a preacher every single day during the week, except on Saturday and Sunday. Sunday, we were in church. Twice on Sunday, but we had chapel. So on Sunday, we'd have two services, and chapel 5 days during the week, and Wednesday night, we had church. So, you know, we had lots of preaching. We're looking at about eight messages a week I was listening to in Bible college. And not complain about that. It was good for me. But there was times, I admit, that you'd kind of put it in neutral and daydream a little bit. And I wasn't learning from the message when I did that. So we need to be careful. Don't let your mind drift off. Pay attention. It'll help you. Then there's one big one that'll really help you to make the Bible preaching come alive and important to you. And that is if you will apply what you've learned. If you say, that is something I need in my life. You know, sometimes what we do is we tend to say, yeah, I could use that. But then as soon as we walk out the door, we forget all about it. And it's done nothing for us. Or we may be sitting there and think, boy, I sure hope the guy down the road listens to this. He sure needs that. All right? There's a temptation for that. But what we need to do is just apply it to our hearts and say, God, what can I learn from this? There's always something we can learn or something we can be refreshed with. If we'll just put our heart into it, our mind in it, and say, God, teach me something from the Scriptures today. Help me to learn something that will benefit me, and then put it into practice. Remember what James said in James 1:22? He says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." He says, be a doer, not a hearer. So we can hear, but if we don't do what we heard, it hasn't done us any good. We can say, oh yeah, I heard about that, but we don't change anything, it doesn't help us any. We need to put it into practice. So when you hear something from the Scriptures, take it home with you, meditate on it on the way home, think about it throughout the day, write some notes down, pray about it, and say, God, please help me to work on that area of my life that I might be more like you. And maybe I'm doing okay, but Lord, help me to stay closer to you in that area. You know, we need to just put it into practice, what we've heard. Now, there's also another reason, a very good reason, for staying alert and paying attention to what you're hearing and preaching. And that is to be able to evaluate what was said to make sure it was right. That's a very important thing. Each of us have that responsibility to make sure what we let in is right. And we need to make sure it's biblical. The very next verse. Look at the next verse. We're going to be talking about this probably next week. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Right? So in the context here, he says, don't despise preaching, but prove all things and hold fast that which is good. So he's saying, listen carefully so that you can evaluate what you heard. And don't listen to things that aren't right. Again, one of the things that is a blessing is the technology we have today. You can listen to messages. You can listen to our messages on our website. But there are also thousands and thousands of other messages on the internet. Not all of them are very good. And you need to be very discerning if you're going to go out looking for preaching. Because what happens is if you listen to something that is unbiblical, it'll put a seed of doubt in your mind. And you listen to it again, and that seed starts to sprout. And you listen to it again, and that seed starts to grow. And before long, you say, I think our preacher's wrong. I think I've got some new ideas now, and I've got changed my mind about some of these things. What has happened? You've listened to unbiblical teaching, and it has begun. The devil uses that to teach you and guide you the wrong direction. You get off the track, and you start following the wrong trail. You need to be very careful about this. Down through the years, our church has been here for now over 22 years. And down through the years, there have been many. Not one, not two, not three, many. That have got off track from listening to wrong preaching. And they'll come to me one day and say, Pastor, I believe this now. I said, what? Where'd you get that idea? Oh, I've been listening to this Joe on the internet. Boy, he's a good preacher. And he said it right, Pastor. And I think you're wrong. And next thing they know, they say, goodbye, we'll see you later. And they're off and chasing their own little trail. That's happened numerous times. And why did it happen? It's because they didn't have discernment. They listened to things they knew weren't right, but listened to it anyway because it was appealing. Be careful. Please be careful. That's why God says here that we need to despise not prophesying, but he says prove all things. Watch out for what you... It is dangerous to listen to things that are not right. You know, that's even true if you're studying. You know, when I have to study things about the cults, or I have to study things about demonism or things like that, in order to teach truth, I have to be very careful and cautious as I'm studying it, because I don't want the things that I'm reading and studying and thinking about to start twisting my thinking in the wrong direction. We need to be very careful. And many people have gotten twisted around by listening to the wrong thing. Somebody comes and knocks on your door. The best thing you can do is say, no thanks, I go to the Baptist church. I'd rather not talk to you. All right? Because you start talking to these cults, they are so smooth and slick, and they say some nice things, and you listen to them, and next thing you know, they're going to say, well, maybe they're such a nice guy. Maybe what they say wasn't so bad. And you start listening, it puts seeds of doubt in your mind, and it corrupts you, and it'll lead you astray. Please don't do that. You need to be cautious. need to be very careful. And so this morning, as we pull these things together that we've looked at, God says, despise not prophesying. Don't look down upon the preaching. Don't say it's not that important. I'll listen to it if I get a chance, but it's not that important. Or, you know, when I get a chance, I'll come to church, but it, you know, it's boring. Or if you come, and sometimes people come week after week after week, and I'm not saying it's you, I hope it isn't you, but people that go to church week after week, and they, as soon as they get to church, they put it in neutral, and they sit back and they think about what they're going to be doing for the rest of the week, and they don't pay attention to anything that's said, and when it's all done, they stand up and they do what they're supposed to do, and they smile, and all is well, but they didn't gain a thing. Don't do that. Don't put it in neutral. Let's come with an eager heart, saying, God, please teach me something. Feed my soul. Help me to learn. And then help me to apply it to my life. And you know, if we'll do that, it'll be a huge blessing to your life. It'll be a blessing to me, but it'll be a greater blessing to you. Because it'll help you, strengthen you, build you up, and make you a stronger Christian. And so, we need to be very careful not to despise preaching. Now, perhaps this morning God has brought something to your attention in all that we've talked about. You say, yeah, I have to admit, yeah, maybe I need to work on that one area. And if God's brought something to your attention, the right thing to do is to do what I have to do when God brings something to my attention, is to get on my knees before the Lord and say, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Would you please forgive me? Get it right with God and then say, God, change me. Make me what I ought to be. Help me to be what I ought to be. And just put it into practice. So we're not hearers of the word only, but we're doers of the word. We're doing what God wants us to do. So if God has touched on an area in your life this morning and you know that's an area that you have failed in or you need to work on or you need to improve on or you need to focus on more, then don't just ignore it. Let God have his way. Ask him to change you. Ask his forgiveness. And focus on the right way. God will bless you if you'll do that. It'll help you. It'll build you. It'll make you stronger. It'll benefit you if you'll do that.